every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAMAPALASLASLASLACRRMMCMAKMA.
Is there anybody we speak for?
Us.
Yeah, not really, though.
We don't really do that well.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Shelley's
the solution.
The solution. Okay. I'm going to get him a shirt like that for Christmas.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Mark.
I'm Mark, the solution.
Speaking of, guess what?
What?
The situation got voted off of Dancing with the Stars. Thank you, God.
Who's the situation?
You mean there's actually somebody who goes by another name like that?
Oh, ha ha.
No.
Who's... And he's off Dancing with the Stars. Thank you.
Okay.
Who's now this... I don't have to listen, watch any of those stupid Yahoo News reports about
him. Who's the situation?
Him.
Mike, the situation from Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
See, I don't even know what Jersey Shore is because I've never seen it.
It's a TV show, and he goes by that name, The Situation.
I have daughters.
Oh.
That's not even a name.
I was going to say, I hope so. I don't know.
You hope I'm not a closet Jersey Shore watcher?
Yeah. Well, it's not like the guy's a boxer. You know, every single boxer has a name, and most sports players have some kind of name.
I don't know if he's a boxer. He's a bit of a dog.
Yeah. What is he? The selection? What is he?
He's the situation.
Which is not a name. That's something that happens in the Oval Office.
When Bill was there.
when Bill had guests.
Bill had a situation on his hand.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What?
It's time for a break. Do you know someone who has a problem with drugs or alcohol? You know you want to intervene. But what can you do? Your loved one, friend, or colleague is spiraling out of control. You can help by calling Diversified Intervention Group. You do not have to deal with this problem alone. Call the intervention specialist at 909-559-9568. Diversified Intervention Group specializes in drug and alcohol intervention. We can help break the cycle of addiction. There is hope for recovery. The Diversified Intervention Group is your solution. Call 909-559-9568. Call now before it's too late. We provide services throughout North America. The Diversified Intervention Group. One phone call can make the difference.
Diversified Intervention Group is not a medical provider, nor do we provide medical services. If you feel that you are suffering a life-threatening situation, then immediately call 911 or contact your health care provider. Our drug and alcohol intervention service does not intend to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
No one's going to know what was interesting,
nope.
But we don't care.
But we all know there was something very interesting.
There was.
And we're not telling.
No.
Never.
I'm not going to say, Shelley, put those batteries away. Look at that. She's going to think there's another.
Mm-hmm. Official eye roll. Go ahead and do the intro.
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Once again, I'm shocked with our awesomeness, wow. Our Foley skills.
It's lucky thing I'm a humble person because that was really impressive.
Impressive to us.
Okay.
You know, there's people out there going, what the hell are they talking about? There's an actual Foley guy listening going, dude, you guys suck.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, here's the PSA for the day.
Public service announcement.
Beware of ATM skimming.
What?
With device overlays.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah, this is a relatively new thing where they're putting, thieves are putting pieces, ATM parts, over the original ATM parts. And it makes it look like it's part of the ATM, but what it does is you stick your card in there and it skims all the information off your card.
And then you punch in your code.
Your PIN number. It captures your PIN number, and then it makes it, you know, they take the information back and make a new card, and it's your card, and they're using it.
They're doing this again?
Well, yeah, there's another thing, too, where there are ATM machines that aren't even ATM machines.
No, they were doing that a while ago.
It spits you out a thing that says you have no money.
Yeah, they were doing that a while ago with the covers.
Well, the things to remember when you go to an ATM are don't go to any out-of-the-way ATMs, in no dark places, anything like that. Bank branch ones are generally safer than standalone ATMs. Cover the PIN pad with your other hand when you put your because sometimes the skimmers can't capture the PIN, but they put little tiny cameras like in the little pamphlet holders and stuff to capture your fingers as you're typing. To get a video of your fingers as you're typing
in
your
PIN. So I'm guessing
PIN.
The ATM at my local liquor store that I use all the time is pretty damn safe.
Probably not.
Yeah. Sweet.
You also know what happens if you enter your PIN backwards, don't you?
What?
It gives money back to the bank?
No, actually, it notifies the police that you are under duress of some kind.
Really?
Really.
I didn't know that. See? This has been a
that
wonderful
a
public
PSA.
Service.
Better Snopes that. Better Snopes that, though, because that's just something I've heard on several occasions.
I'm going to try that. I'm just going to go to the bank and try that, see if the
cops show up.
Yeah.
As a side note, thieves now have Bluetooth-enabled chips that they stick into the pump at the gas station, and you put your card in there, and it basically texts all your information to a telephone.
I don't have any money anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like we care. Actually, though, it happened to me on my store card. Someone tried to charge up $3,700 worth of makeup in France, and the first thing I thought was my daughter.
I'll tell you,
she's never been to France.
No,
I was really surprised because I thought those Czechoslovakian guys you made friends with online were good guys.
Yeah, I thought they were cool.
Yeah,
I didn't. Who knew?
No.
All right, moving right along.
Moving on up.
Okay, if you're going to drive drunk and hit a car, make sure it isn't an unmarked police car sitting at a stoplight carrying the chief of the Massachusetts State Police.
That's always a good plan.
Wow. So if you're not in Massachusetts, you should be relatively safe.
Well, yeah, right. Then you can hit all the police cars you want.
Okay. Yeah, just as long as the Massachusetts State Police chief isn't in the car.
Well, Donna Sclamo, 51, of Massachusetts, obviously, did just that.
That's a cool name, Sclamo.
And it was her fifth DUI.
Oops.
From Massachusetts.
Fortunately, no one was hurt.
Where was the hiccup?
Yeah.
Her fifth DUI.
The hiccup made a nice line on the board there.
Yes, it does.
In Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, been there many times. Okay. Gotten loaded there many times.
Here we go.
Now, this is an interesting story, actually, I think. This happens at the Markham Inn. In Eugene, Jessica Weber is suing for sexual harassment. She was an employee. Is suing for sexual harassment when her employer demanded that she participate in a ring toss game with her husband's penis, among other depravities. The owner of the inn is a woman.
Yes.
She set her husband up in the corner of the room or whatever.
Yes.
Obviously got him excited or whatever. And then proceeded to tell her employees that they needed to throw rings at his member.
Okay, So
the employee is suing for sexual harassment.
What about the husband?
Well, apparently...
He seems to be a willing participant.
At other events, he is a willing participant where he parades around in a thong and then will take the thong off and shake his booty and... they have other games, other kinds of games and stuff. And the owner of the hotel hands out sex toys as prizes.
You know what? I don't think she's going to have a case. You know why I don't think she's going to have a case?
Why?
Because there's precedence to this. The husband's done it before. She must know about it from before.
She's participating in it. That's the problem. She's setting it up.
No.
You know what's tough on the husband? If she comes back and says she's suing because it was an impossible shot.
Oh, wow. No. What I'm saying is the wife, who's now suing for harassment...
No, the wife is not suing for harassment.
The employee
is suing for harassment.
Who was told that the...
Oh, it was the husband of the owner of the hotel.
Yes.
Okay. I'm way out of line. I thought it was the husband of the employee.
No.
Dude, even Gloria Allred could win that case.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could win that case.
Gloria Allred's probably on that case
and
already.
And she's only asking for $900,000. A case like that, heck.
What's the last case Gloria Allred's actually won?
I don't know.
She's got one going on right now with
she doesn't.
Thing.
No, she doesn't.
She did.
With who?
With the gal from Meg Whitman's...
Nope. Never filed a suit.
No?
Nope.
Oh, I thought that the employee... That's the illegal employee that was filing
nope.
a suit. She didn't
nope.
file the suit?
Never filed a suit.
Really?
So yeah. Basically, they were hired by Jerry Brown to create a tempest in a teapot.
Sure looks that way, doesn't it?
Sure does. And I didn't say that.
Yeah,
because this is not
funny,
a political show.
Because it did sound like you said
wow.
that.
But this is not a political
it's
show.
It's funny because the board was moving like somebody was talking while you didn't
say
that.
There was
my
like the equalizer
nonsense was coming out.
Really, really looked like it was reacting to voice stimuli.
I just don't want the show to go political. So anyway. Should I
sit there going, did I say that out loud?
Yeah, I know.
Was that my outdoor voice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Next story.
Elwan Heath.
This has
got to
be a drug one.
Yes.
Was
selling drugs outside a convenience store in Tulsa, Oklahoma. By the way, we have like three Oklahoma stories tonight. Oklahoma is a hotbed of activity.
You mean they're not all
and
Florida?
And they had an earthquake today.
Well, that was one of the stories. Thank you so much.
Oh, preview.
Where was I?
Okay.
He was selling drugs outside a convenience store in Tulsa, Oklahoma when he was apprehended by police, whereupon he ate his crack pipe.
Ow.
Oh.
He was then arrested for destruction of evidence.
It wasn't really destroyed. They just had to wait a while.
They had to take him to the hospital in case something happened, like if
it
broke or something
in
there.
I mean, what kind of pipe? Because it isn't necessarily glass.
He swallowed an antenna.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's all kinds of things you could use for a pipe. Glass would be not very smart.
Actually, I think it said glass in the story.
Really?
I think so.
Yikes.
Ate it or swallowed it? If he swallowed it, it'll come out.
The story said eight.
Wonder if the screens will still be in it.
I just can't, man, boy. I don't think I could. I don't think I'd be chewing on a glass pipe. Of course,
he was probably high.
Yeah, I was going to say I've done some weird things when I'm high.
Yeah, L1 and his brother L2.
No, just L1.
Okay.
L1
and L2.
Okay, now we have a really, really sad story, and my heart goes out to the family of this boy. And on Alaska.
Really,
yeah, it is really sad.
I wonder if they can hear that.
What, the dog?
Yeah.
The dog barking? I doubt it.
Nope.
An Unalaska Washington teen died after a drinking game at a friend's home. An adult at the home, the father of one of the kids, provided the alcohol for the teenagers to have this game. They played shot for shot.
See ya.
They played shot for shot. He passed out after he took 11 shots and then started drinking straight from the bottle and then passed out. And his friends stripped him down and wrote, you know, cuss words and epithets and things all over his body with permanent magic marker as he lay there dying.
That's typical these days. That's a big thing.
As he lay there dying, they did not get help for him. They didn't even roll him over. They didn't move him until they realized, you know, the next day that he hadn't moved. And then they called for help.
Yeah, there's pictures like that all over the internet. Guys that are passed out with, you know, all kinds of things. Phalluses drawn on their face, pointed towards their mouth.
The adult in the case is now up for manslaughter.
See ya.
And the, I mean, can you imagine having to bury your kid with all that stuff written all over him?
That's true.
They wash it off.
It's yeah. permanent. In the story, they said that they couldn't.
Well, it comes off eventually.
It comes off.
There's makeup,
guys. In the story, the mother was quoted as saying they had to bury him that way.
Wow.
You know what? One thing I know for sure, because I've... Not that I've ever personally done it, but I've seen someone that's had magic marker put on them when they were drunk. If you shower every day and everything, it comes off slowly. Like, you got to do it a few times.
There are certain solvents that will get it off pretty quickly.
Well, there's certain solvents. You can take the skin right off. He's dead. Who cares? I got the official... Wow, from Shelley.
I can't believe you said that.
She's stunned.
Yeah. I didn't even get an eye roll. You know what I got? I got the eyes of death. I got the Bill Cosby thing. Like,
you got the laser stare.
Fire came from her eyes.
You got the laser stare, baby.
Okay, I'm just moving on to the next story because I'm so shocked.
She missed the comedy in that.
Carrie Fisher has admitted to taking cocaine as far back as on the set of Empire Strikes Back.
No shit.
Now, during that period of time, she was admonished by another famous star that she had a problem.
Let's guess who.
Jabba the Hutt.
Harrison Ford.
No.
Mark Hamill.
No.
Oh, Allie Guinness.
No.
Another famous star that was on that set?
No.
Oh, wasn't on that set?
No.
I was going to say, we're running out of famous
okay,
people.
I have to say that when John Belushi tells you you have a problem with cocaine,
you got a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. Wow. Now, see, that's really sad. I met her once. I think that she has some time now, right?
Yes, she's got quite a bit of time.
Because when I met her, she didn't have a lot of time, and I didn't ever think her boat was coming back to port. She was... Did not seem too with it.
Yeah.
She was in better shape than who was the guy from Big Wednesday? The surfing movie. He also was in Airwolf.
Jan Michael Vincent.
Oh, has anybody heard about him? What's happened with him?
Last time he was seen, he was floating over Macy's Parade.
Let me tell you, the last time I saw him, he looked like he just climbed out of a dumpster. It was down in Santa Monica. And here's this guy who was, you know, this real attractive guy, action hero guy. Dude, he was tore up. Same night that I saw Carrie Fisher. Wow.
Wow. Well.
He looked like he was about to die.
Another story from Oklahoma. Chantel Isham, 27.
Drug story?
Of Oklahoma, stole a donut out of a parked car,
sure,
urinated in the convenience store parking lot, and then offered oral sex to the arresting officer for $80.
Drug story.
When told that she was under arrest, she informed cops that she was sitting on her moneymaker. Now, what I want to know is, she said she was sitting on her moneymaker, and yet she offered him oral sex, so does that mean she was sitting on her mouth?
When she found out that she was under arrest, she should have dropped her price in half.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
$40. Twofer.
Do it for a 20.
You and your partner.
Yeah. That's what she had in her mouth. Twofer.
Now, drugs, alcohol?
No, the amazing thing is that there were no drugs or alcohol involved in this story.
Meds?
Possibly.
She goes, well, there should have been, but apparently she wasn't taking them.
There has to be something involved because nobody wanders out into the middle of a convenience store parking lot, drops their pants and pees. I mean, at least...
I don't know.
Mark's like, I might have. I don't really remember. I was too drunk.
May have.
We
usually wander to the corner of the convenience store.
I peed in a trash area of a 7-Eleven once in Glendora, and
was that you?
And I'm frying on acid, and I needed to pee, and the guy at 7-Eleven said, "You cannot go to the bathroom here." And I went outside, and
yes,
he goes, "Look," he goes, "back in where the dumpster is. There's a wall around." He goes, "Just pee in there." And okay, so I went out there, and I come out, and there's a cop car with its light on me with two Glendora cops. Who said, what are you doing? And I'm frying hard. And my friends see me talking to them. They're like, oh, my God, he's going to get busted. And I just said, I went to go to the bathroom at 7-Eleven. The guy told me to come out here and go to the bathroom here because they wouldn't let me use the bathroom in the store. And the cop looked at me, and he said, I can't knock a guy for being honest. And they drove away. And I was like, oh, I was getting trails off him and everything. I'm like, wow. That was awesome.
Looked like the Starship Enterprise leaving the atmosphere.
Oh, my God. My friends, they just knew I was going to jail, but it didn't happen.
Well, we're way past time, but I have one more story, but we'll have to save it for the next show because we're out of time.
It's because my story.
No.
I had to throw in the story.
I actually have a story for the next boozy news that's going to take quite a bit of time, so we may not get through all the boozy news I have tonight.
We could do another show.
Wow. Wow. Shelly and I have been a little under the weather.
Yeah, I'm sorry if you hear any. If you hear like multiple coughing, that's me. Sorry.
And multiple sirens in the background. That's me.
I haven't gotten to the multiple coughing yet, but it could happen. I'm masking mine cleverly with a cigar.
Attaboy.
So, Mark.
Yes, Bruce.
You had a topic.
Others in denial.
Others in denial. So give us an example of how you like the convo to go.
Well, you know, I'd like to deal a lot with the maybe it's more from a position of sponsor to sponsee or people in the program that are in that tweener stage. They're not in their first 90 days, but they're along and they're sharing things that they're talking the talk.
But not necessarily
walking the walk.
Yeah.
Or they're sharing with you and you're pretty sure they went out and they're not ready to admit it yet.
Okay.
Those kind of things.
Shelly?
Yes?
What do you think?
I was just trying to think of... I had one person, I wouldn't really even call them a sponsee because she only called me once. And then her social worker called me. And that was all I ever heard about it at all. But she told me the first time that we talked that she was just in the program. She was in a program, a women's program, a drug and alcohol program.
Yeah.
And she told me that she was just in the program to get her kid back, that she didn't really have a problem. But she'd had like 3 DUIs and a couple of drug arrests, and she didn't have a problem. And she'd lost her kid. When CPS takes away your kid, you got a problem.
Yeah, that's usually a sign of something's going amiss.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
So I would say that that's a heavy dose of denial there.
Well, another thing that I might add into like the denial thing, because I know several people that have done this over the years, and I know one person who's done it several times as of lately. How about the people that they're not really in denial that they're an addict or alcoholic? I mean, they know that. But like I know a guy and he's like, he's going to go to this place, American Recovery Center. He's going to go. He's going to go. He's going to go. He's going to go. He's going to stay the 6 months or the 9 months or the year or whatever it is. And it comes time to go, and he goes for 3 days in detox. He goes, I don't need to be here. And then immediately... Then immediately, like, goes out again.
Yeah.
Right now, this person just checked himself into a year-long facility in El Monte.
We'll see how long it lasts.
I'm not even betting on 30 days.
I would say a week.
I would love to see it happen, but I don't... You know what? Something's going to happen. We know someone recently went to a facility in Pasadena.
For a year.
Was going to be a real nice facility, blah, blah, blah. And within a couple of days was gone because, you know, it's not what they were. Yeah, I always love it. It's not really what I was looking for. Well, yeah, you're looking for someone to take care of you and you not have to do anything.
These people get so sober in the via the Lindsay Lohan plan.
The spin dry?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm going for 6 months. Or 12 days.
You just you sent me on a tangent right there. Have you seen Machete?
I haven't yet.
Lindsay's in it.
Is she?
Oh, are you ready for this? Here's a stretch.
Well, don't ruin it for
me.
She
plays a drug addict daughter.
Wow.
How's that for a stretch?
Wow.
And you know what?
Think she could pull it off?
Actually, it looks really good, to be honest with you. Looks really good naked, too.
No, I have to watch it just for research.
Oh yeah. For research purposes. I was surprised, though. There she was. But, yeah, the same kind of thing. You know, Lindsay's going to go in somewhere. Paris is going to do something. Everybody's going to do something.
for a while.
And how many times have you seen people in the program? They come in to get someone off their back. They don't think they're an alcoholic or an addict, even though maybe clearly, like Shelley was talking about, they've had a kid taken away or, you know, whatever. Something, you know, that they're on their fourth DUI, but of course they don't have a problem, you know. And they're just not convinced when they get here that they're that it's really, you know, they're just in denial. Can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. How about when you see someone and to you it's clear?
It is. I mean, I've had, you know, people that I've sponsored that all of a sudden I watch them one day and they're, you can see the warning signs, and then all of a sudden you're in a meeting with them one night and they nod off during the meeting, which is usually an indicator.
You know, especially if they're doing heroin.
Yeah, somebody nods off during a meeting, it's usually an indicator that there's something going on.
Unless you're Bruce.
Well, that's just old age.
You know. I have nodded off in meetings before. But you know why?
Why?
Because I've gone to meetings before where I'm really too tired to go, but I go anyway. Mm-hmm. And I hang as long as I can. Or I've been sick and I go and I'm just out.
So how do you go about questioning them without dead on calling them a liar? It's like, how do you drive them to the position where they confess?
You say, I believe that you're wrong about that. You do have a problem with drugs and alcohol, or you would still have your kid.
Well, I've actually done it to people before.
That's what I said to her.
Okay.
I've done it to people before where there was someone that I thought might be loaded. I just ask him, dude, are you loaded or what? Dude, you're what?
No, dude. I'm fine.
I don't think so. I've seen it before with people where you're like, dude,
are you calling me a liar?
Well, you reek of booze. That's the first indicator.
I was at a party with Lindsay and somebody spilled it on me.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Well, and you know what? And I mean, you know what? That's what will happen. I mean, they're going to, you know, here's the problem with that, too. And I've seen this before. If they're not drunk or they're not loaded, they're going to say they're not loaded.
Right.
If they are loaded, they're going to say they're not loaded. So really, there's only one answer to the question, are you loaded?
And no.
That answer is no.
Yeah.
Whether
so
or
why
not
ask
they
it?
Are. That's what makes that one tough.
Yeah.
Now. Mm-hmm. I remember myself sitting in meetings in December or some other cold month in a tank top, sweating, you know, hands going.
You were loaded.
Oh, yeah. But if you asked me if I was, absolutely not. Why are you sweating? Because I'm hot. Why are you hot? It's only 40 degrees in here. I've got a fever.
See, I don't ask. I tell.
Don't ask, don't tell.
No, I don't ask. I just tell. Like, we had a person that we know that came over to the house completely hammered, and I didn't ask, hey, have you been drinking? I said, how many have you had?
Oh, there's a different way to approach it.
Well, you know what? That is a good way to approach it because it's not a yes or no question.
None.
Yeah.
How I haven't had any.
Zero.
The answer was, I don't know.
Could be zero.
You know, he almost fell out of his car.
No, that was the time that he did fall out of his car.
Oh, yeah, he did fall out of his car.
Then it probably couldn't be zero.
That was the day, I believe, that he got out of jail for DUI.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was tough. Yeah, you know, the whole denial thing is, I mean, for so many years, it served us so well to be in denial.
Uh-huh.
And against normies, denial works pretty well. The problem is when you're going up against professional alcoholics and addicts, they look right through you like you're a ghost, and they go, dude, you're on crack. Dude, you're jacked up. Dude, you're nodding. Dude, you're drunk. And they look at you like, shit, I got caught, and they like double deny.
Yeah.
Backpedal.
Dude, you've been sitting in the meeting for 40 minutes. You haven't stopped moving.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You get too many of those rock stars in you.
Oh,
you sit there and bounce.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we've got a gal that we love, Sarah, who brings like these ginormous bags of candy. And we know some people. You know what? You give them at the meeting the other night, my buddy Chris, he must have had 30 Tootsie Rolls. And I'm like, oh, my, I mean, he was about to explode.
And then he's making, like, little shapes with the rest of them.
Yeah. Oh, he was ready.
Yeah. I was throwing crap at him, trying to knock him out of line.
You might as well have given him crack. I mean, he was just zinging.
He was humming.
He was. So, Shelley, have you ever felt yourself in that position?
Would have been in denial?
Yeah. Like when you were already in the program.
Well, there was the infamous second time that James came over and interrupted my plan to nefariously kill myself with alcohol. And I completely denied it to him until the next night. Huh?
That's what he did in leaving Las Vegas. He decided he's going to kill himself by drinking himself to death.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. He said that he smelled alcohol, and I told him no, that he didn't. And I had just dumped it down the sink. And, I mean, just dumped it down the sink. And I didn't fess up to that until the next night at a meeting.
Yeah, he's come around a couple of times.
He did it twice, 2 days, 5 days apart.
He's your guardian angel.
Yeah, more like my albatross, but, you know.
Okay.
Wow, my guardian albatross.
My guardian albatross.
That's not quite Jamesington Livingston albatross.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a stretch, wasn't it?
It is. It's, you know, to be honest, he saved my life twice, and...
You don't sound all that grateful about it.
I am, but at first it was kind of like, oh, man, if somebody's got to save your life, it has to be James.
You saved my life twice, you bastard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But after a while, I got over it, and now I'm grateful.
You fucking bastard.
So, Mark.
Yes, Bruce.
Final words.
It's hard to have final words on this one because it's a tough situation for me. Well, it's not real tough for me. I mean, I usually call people on it.
I'm sure you do.
But... You hesitate to do so. I mean, because if they're in denial, that's their business, that's their program. Doesn't have anything to do with my program.
That's true. It's between them and God, mostly.
Yeah, so that kind of, if they want to deny it, that's between them, God, and their sponsor. But if I'm their sponsor, then it's between me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up, because I was going to bring up as my final word. That would be it. You know what? If it's somebody else, actually, you know what, though? If it's somebody else... I might be harsher on somebody else because it's sort of that sponsor-sponsee relationship. I would hate to be in a position of really letting someone have it if it turned out they weren't, because the answer is going to be no anyway. Whereas if it's someone else's sponsee, I don't give a shit. I'll just lay him out. I'll call you over and say, Mark, you think he's loaded?
Absolutely.
There we
go. But you know what's really cool about it? If you do that and you call him on it and they're wrong, you know what the sponsor's handbook says. No. I was just testing your acceptance level.
That's perfect. Awesome. Shelley?
Yes?
What are your final words on it?
I don't know. Rat him out. I kind of take a Jamesian stance on this one. I do believe
Jamesian?
That it is...
Jamesian.
I do believe that your sobriety date is between you and God and your sponsor. And that's not for me to determine. However, I don't think that we do anyone in the program or someone who's trying to get sober any services by keeping our mouths shut when we know that they're flying under the radar.
Clearly. I think we can all agree on that. Because you know what? A, it's dangerous for other people in the program to have somebody there that's hammered, that's playing like they're not. I could just see someone who's newer going to hang out with someone they think has 90 days who's actually loaded. That's not a good thing.
What about people who don't know their sobriety date?
Something's up.
You know those people?
Yeah.
Like, but you know what my feeling is? Don't worry about it. You'll know it next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not remember your last drink?
There was one time where I got sober when I wasn't exactly sure when, but it was end of May, beginning of April thing. My sponsor said, April Fool's Day. That's your day. Now, I turned out to have many other days after that. But
yeah, of course.
Because he said, dude, you're an idiot. If you can't remember the day, then let's make it April Fool's Day.
If you can't remember your last drink, you're sure to have your first one.
You'll remember it next time.
Unless it was a blackout.
You'll remember
the first day. I might have been sober for a week. I don't even know.
You'll remember the first day you get sober next time you get sober.
There you go. And that brings us to the end of a recovery packed
edition.
You need a crowbar to, like, release all the recovery in that show. It was
why would you
massive.
Need a crowbar if it's exploding with recovery?
Because it's wedged against the valves, and the pipes are almost to the bursting point.
Oy.
A little bicarbonate of soda will clear that right up.
Yeah. So, Shelley.
Yes.
Do we have any friends back east?
That would be Bruce at the 12-Step Gazette.
The other white meat?
That's him.
Yes. 12, go to
our
12.
Recovery guy of the month?
Yes, he is our recovery guy of the month.
You want me to keep adding stuff when you're trying to say something?
Go to 12stepgazette.com. That's the number 12. I'm never going to get to finish without you poking your little nose in. At any rate, you can go and read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you, or you can get it delivered in the post if you subscribe.
Bruce, you're so anxious to talk. Tell us about our friends online.
InTheRooms.com. That's a fabulous website. InTheRooms.com. .com. That's where you can go join. It's sort of like a Facebook of recovery. It's all recovery-oriented. They've got speaker tapes you can download.
You can download speaker tapes?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Hey, Hugh. No, not Hugh. Is it Hugh?
Hugh Hewitt.
Wait,
Hugh
no,
Hauser.
Hewell Hauser. Hugh Hewitt.
I like Hugh Hewitt, though.
Yeah, Hugh Hewitt's
good. He's cool.
You can do all that stuff on there, and it's absolutely free, intherooms.com. We've also got the 12-Step Music Fest coming up. That's the first week of November. It's in Key West, Florida. Go to 12stepmusicfest.com. Artie Kornfeld's going to be there, one of the creators of Woodstock. Mark Lundum's going to be there. Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night's going to be there. It's going to be a thing.
Rocking.
A thing.
A thing?
Shelley didn't say anything.
Ain't no
whatever
thing.
That thing
it's
is.
It's going to be a thing.
Ain't no thing.
Do we have any email addresses, Shelley?
Recovery101radio@gmail.com, recovery101radio@hotmail.com, and recovery_101@hotmail.com.
Any videos, Mark?
YouTube.com/easylook and YouTube.com/recovery101rule62.
Mark.
Bruce.
Who's the lead out music by?
Yikes.
I don't remember them. Although that would be a good name for a band.
Yikes.
Yikes.
I don't know.
Mark is like
Whitesnake.
Whitesnake. Here we go again. On our own.
Oh, brother.
Going down the only road I've ever known.
There you go.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.